So, do you think that this is we have on one side Charlie Kirk saying that he is merely a he's a conservative. He's here to talk to conservatives on college campuses. You have Joyce McConnell, who said in her email from September 20th that related him to you know, violent white supremacist acts. Do you think this is a debate of freedom of speech, or it's something political?
Right. Well, unfortunately, these things are connected in 2019 in a way that I'm not sure they always have been in American political discourse, where you have a group like Turning Point USA, which its members would vociferously reject being labeled as white supremacist, bigoted, intolerant, that sort of thing. And yet the group seems to attract that kind of criticism, right? And this could be a function of any number of things, the behavior of individuals within the organization, statements that individuals within the organization have made, as well as the kinds of other groups that sometimes show up at Turning Point USA's events, right? Which certainly I've never seen evidence that this is coordinated in any way, but it causes that connection to be made in some minds. I do think what's important for some folks to remember here is that we ought to be careful in drawing the distinctions between what kinds of political speech and discourse we're willing to censor, we're willing to try and silence, and which kinds we simply have to say the spirit of living in a democratic society is that we ought to listen to and engage with ideas that we disagree with, and that those ideas, if they're not threatening violence, if they're not menacing or harassing on an individual basis, those ideas themselves are not causing physical harm, right? Whereas menacing or harassing speech is of a different category in a legal sense.
So let's talk about speech that harasses and menaces mm-hmm. violence, because last year mm-hmm. there was a violent incident after the Turning Point event, and this year I asked Charlie what he could say to reassure students there would not be mm-hmm. another violent incident, and he basically said that any violence that occurred would be the fault of Joyce McConnell for associating him with white supremacy. So what's your response to that?
So this violence at the Turning Point USA event will not be President McConnell's fault, in my view. I think that's a statement that certainly comes across as provocative, right? And certainly part of Turning Point USA's brand behavior is provocative. They're provocateurs, and I think that's not in and of itself a bad thing, right? But to say that if you criticize me because people have, there has been violence in my events in the past and there's more violence, it's your fault for pointing it out is I'm not sure I can follow the logic.
Yeah, I think he was trying to say that by associating him with white supremacy, he was attracting yeah. white supremacists, but I yeah. Thank you yeah. for that. So, Turning Point makes their MO out of coming to college campuses and talking to college students about conservative ideas. What do you think about the political environment of a college campus makes it a place that, A, Turning Point believes they need to be more involved in, and B, makes this such a divisive conversation? For
yeah, us? Yeah. So, you know, in my view as a professor, college campuses, universities at their best, are a place where we, in good faith, engage with each other, we experience the discomfort of ideas that are new or strange to us, and we try and search for and push for the truth and better understanding of the world in which we live. College campuses, as part of that world where we talk about ideas that are new or controversial or on the cutting edge, we often are a hotbed for controversy, for disagreement. Political movements, you know, the world over, are often started at, they're fomented on university campuses. Certainly that, you know, 18 to 24 year old period of life is a period of political socialization that's crucial in people's lives, where we leave our parents' homes and we just sort of figure out for ourselves, well, what do I think about these things? Where do I fit in political space? And what are my core values and beliefs? And so it's natural that there would be intense passion and sincere political disagreement on a college campus. That's That said, you also, because of that concentrated group of people who are in this energized, activative state, there are a lot of outside groups that like to be a part of that, right? That like to glom on to the energy of a university campus. And certainly people disagree about what kind of organization Turning Point USA is, right? There are, you know, some folks who are concerned with what they're doing, think it falls into the alt-right kind of vein. And I certainly saw the members of CSU's Turning Point USA's chapter's letter to the editor in the Collegian, where they, at least the folks here on this campus who are students of this university, would reject and say that that label doesn't fairly apply to their chapter and their group.
So do you think on a college campus the conservative viewpoint is stifled?
No.
No.
So, and at least, so let me explain that a little bit. I think if there's a stifling of viewpoint, of political viewpoints by undergraduates on this campus, I think to a certain extent students do it to themselves, where there's a fear of that difficult conversation happening in class. And I think you see this from both students who might style themselves as more progressive as well as conservative students, where students don't want to raise their hand and express a difficult viewpoint. And I haven't sat in on every other professor's class. I don't know. My goal as a professor is that every student walks into the classroom feeling like they can express sincerely held political and ideological viewpoints in a respectful and civil manner, and we can have that exchange of ideas. And I certainly, one of the things you hear sometimes students say is, well, I know I'm conservative, but if I write a liberal paper, I'm going to get a better grade, right? So of course, it must be these liberal professors. And in my experience, trying to write from a viewpoint that is not your own causes you to engage in more critical thinking. It's a natural psychological tendency to think that our own values, our own ideology, our own positions are probably the correct ones. That's why we hold them, for goodness sake. So we don't examine them, or we don't articulate them as fully, because we almost implicitly, subconsciously feel we don't need to. So if you are conservative and you wrote a liberal paper, quote unquote, whatever that means, and you got an A+, is it possible that you simply articulated those ideas better? Because you've had to think about them more carefully. How would I articulate a liberal viewpoint? And sure. Vice versa.
Absolutely. So I have a question about a resource that Charlie Kirk developed for college students, and as a professor, I think you'd be interested in this.
Sure.
It's called, have you heard of Professor Watchlist?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of Professor Watchlist?
I think, so when I said some people could consider Turning Point USA provocateurs, I think Professor Watchlist is an example of this, right? There is a gotcha culture in American political conversation today, and Professor Watchlist feeds into that. If we can, record a clip of someone saying anything that comes across as partisan, well, that surely means this person is trying to poison the minds of the conservative youth or the liberal youth or God knows what. I'm trying to poison the minds of my students to just read the syllabus and do the required reading. So if, anyone who would ascribe to me the ability to change someone's deeply held ideology and values vastly overestimates my abilities as an instructor. I think what Professor Watchlist does is, I think it has the potential to encourage someone like me, I'm newer to this profession, I have not yet been granted tenure by this university, and things like Professor Watchlist simply discourage me from having difficult or controversial conversations in the classroom at all, because I'm not certain if I have a student who would like to make an example out of me, or make an example out of my class, simply for discussing things that are going on in the political scene. And so I think the Professor Watchlist and things like this that attempt to name and shame professors for being biased has a chilling effect on education for everybody. And there are a lot of professors out there who work in a vulnerable capacity as non-tenured track and adjunct faculty members. And their livelihoods can be threatened if they become politically controversial or being seen as politically controversial. And so I'm not sure that Professor Watchlist is doing any good for bettering the quality of political and civic education on university campuses today.
Sure. Let's talk about things being politicized, and I think this will be my last question.
Yeah.
So Charlie Kirk has said that Joyce McConnell has, by denouncing him, has been acting as a member of the far left. Mm-hmm. And he claims himself to be a conservative. Would you say that this debate on campus is a partisan debate?
So that's a difficult question. It is definitely the case that there are partisan correlations with views on how CSU should handle groups like Turning Point USA. I think we have to be careful when we, especially when we talk about these politically explosive and controversial topics. All of us have a psychological bias tendency to engage in mind reading, where we think we know what the other person is thinking, and we assume where they're going and why they're going there. I think I would not ascribe to Mr. Kirk alt-right or white supremacist motivations if he says he doesn't have them. I can't read his mind. And I would also not ascribe to President McConnell far-left or Democratic motivations, because similarly, I can't read her mind. You know, it's difficult, but trying to take people at face value is one of the only ways forward for us to continue having a civic life in a country of over 300 million people with very passionate and diverse views on all sorts of issues.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Professor Hitt.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.